Inform listeners, the president of Tufts University.
This is Tony Monaco, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
You're listening to WMFO Medford. My name is Charlie Driver. This is Pop and Circumstance, an exciting show coming up for you today. We have some David Fry that we're going to listen to as part of our recurring Watergate comedy segment. David Fry, the impressionist who famously perfected his version of Richard Nixon, and so we're going to listen to one of his tapes of that. But we're going to open this with some minimalist contemporary classical music, because that's what everyone wants to hear at 7:02 and 46 seconds. This is, I guess, a pop of Pop and Circumstance. This is Steve Reich. Oh, or my Spotify isn't going to play it, so... Oh, no, there we go. Enjoy. Thank you. That was Electric Counterpoint, Fast Movement 1 by Steve Reich. I think it's Steve Reich, actually. And that was followed by a little bit of Meredith Monk's Mill from her album Facing North from 1992, specifically. And we're joined here by... We're joined by producer Danny on this wet Tuesday morning in Medford. Another day of cold and damp.
It's really quite miserable outside.
Yeah, no, it definitely is.
Yeah, but we're here to make your morning...
Speak into the microphone, Danny.
I'm trying to fix the microphone.
Well, then switch computer or switch mics.
Here we are. We're trying to make your morning a little bit better by bringing you our recurring segment today, Radio Free Nixon / the Watergate Comedy Hour.
Yes, which you've pioneered in your first act of actual producing for this show.
In my first act of actual producing for this show, it is a momentous day indeed. I have crafted a intro for our show, and I think we're going to...
Yeah, we're going to... You're going to have to give me a sec. No, what are you doing?
Well, you told me to play it for my...
No, but you plug in... If you would plug in the other cable, Danny...
Well, you didn't tell me any of these.
Well, you didn't ask. You just assumed. And that's your problem because you're not trained for this.
I think you're just covering up for your mistakes.
Yeah, you know what? Let me get some backing music up here. You have anything exciting planned for today, Danny?
No. I think I might get my socks even more wet, but that's only between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., so for the rest of the time, I'm pretty open. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I'm not doing a ton.
That's exciting.
Yeah. All right, you can probably play that intro now. This is the Danny's new intro for our recurring segment.
Radio Free Nixon.
Yeah.
The story you're about to hear is unique in the annals of American crime.
For over 4 months, Watergate has dominated the news media. The abuses occurred during my administration.
I've earned everything I've got. People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Wow, Danny, what a wonderful intro.
Yes, I'm glad we could appreciate it here in the studio.
What do we have on tap today?
Today we are playing, as I think you mentioned during the show intro, David Fry's I Am the President. This is a comedy album recorded before a live studio audience on Halloween night 1969, well before Watergate, or at least well before everyone knew about Watergate. Who knows what was really going on? But we are here with the preeminent Nixon impersonator, David Fry, and he's going to bring us some good old lovin' from everybody's favorite crooked criminal.
Yeah, and we're just going to go right into that now. So here you go. This is going to be the entirety of side one of I Am the President. Then we'll come back for a bit and we'll bring you side two. Enjoy.
I have the report on Operation Intercept, Mr. President. It's a huge success.
Then you've stopped the flow of marijuana.
Completely. Tourist traffic hasn't moved in days. The president of Mexico is threatening to break off diplomatic relations. Not only that, we seized 3 joints.
Joints. Now, let me understand that. Now, what are joints?
You got to be kidding, sir.
Jones, I never kid. I have a wonderful sense of humor, and I tell hilarious jokes, but I never kid. Now, what is a joint?
Joint, sir, is a marijuana cigarette.
I always thought they were called roofers.
Well, sir, here are the 3 roofers we confiscated. They retail for about 50 cents a piece.
Jones, let me say this. If I gave you 50 cents...
Sir, I brought these roofers with me because the department thought it would be a good idea if you tried one before you drafted your drug bill. We felt that you might have more insight into the problem if you turned on.
I turned on whom?
Well, turning on means to get high.
I am hep. Now, let's have one of those joints, baby.
Here.
That's good.
Sir, you're not supposed to eat it. You smoke it.
I've already swallowed it. Give me another one.
All right. Here, now, sir, when I light it, you're supposed to inhale like this. And you hold the smoke in your lungs as long as possible.
Now let's go, Jones. I'm getting up close.
You mean uptight?
Whatever. Come on, light my fire.
There we go.
I swallowed that one, too.
Oh, boy. Here's another one, sir. It's already lit. Well, how do you feel, sir?
I feel wonderful. This is heavy grass. It must be Acapulco gold. Jones, I believe I'm beginning to hallucinate.
But, sir, you're not supposed to hallucinate on pot.
Don't tell me. I hallucinate on Dr. Pepper.
Well, tell me, sir, what do you see?
Well, it's beautiful, Jones. I see spacious skies and fruited plains. And amber waves of grain. Wait a minute. Now I see colors. Colors!
Red, white, and blue, sir?
No. I see brown. Terrible, depressing brown. I see Pat Brown. And he's winning. He's going to be the governor of California.
Are you all right, sir?
Jones, I think I'm having a bum voyage.
Just relax, sir. I'm here with you.
Wait a second. Everything's changed. Now I'm in a big house. In a big, big office.
That's right, sir. You're right here, where you've always wanted to be. And you're in charge.
You mean?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Then I made it. I actually made it at last. I'm governor of California. Why, Billy Graham, you old crusader. what are you doing in Washington?
I was about to ask you the same thing.
I'm here on government business.
Well, how's everything at home? Your lovely wife, your lovely children, your lovely cabinet, yay, and the beasts of the forest, and the lilies of the field, unto the fourth generation. Verily, Dick, verily.
Everything's fine.
Oh, I'm glad I ran into you, Richard. Richard, you're the only one I can talk to about this. Last night as I watched the sermonette, lo, mine eyes grew heavy, and mine head did nod, and mine hands fell to mine side.
You mean you fell off asleep? Billy, don't worry about it. Your secret is safe with me. I can assure you of that.
Richard, I know. But did you happen to see that sermonette?
You may be absolutely sure that I did.
Then perhaps you can tell me how it turned out.
I'd be very happy to tell you that. They finally get to Bethlehem, and they named him Jesus.
Then it was a boy. Hallelujah!
Sorry, Mr. President. I didn't know you were still here.
Oh, that's all right. You can clean up. I'm just writing the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty. Well, do me a favor. Work around me and don't touch my yellow pad.
Do you want me to dust the treaty?
No, that's all right. Don't bother dusting the treaty.
I always dusted Mr. Roosevelt's treaties.
Well, you must have been here quite a number of years, dear.
Yes, ever since Coolidge. proliferation is spelled with one F.
Thank you very much. What is your name, dear?
Mary Catherine O'Flaherty.
Nice to meet you. I'm the president of the United States. By the way, what are they saying about me?
Who?
You know, the people like you who work in the White House, the little people.
Well, you haven't been here long, but I can tell you this, they love your suit. Pardon me, sir, about paragraph 3. Do you think Russia's going to buy on-site inspection the way you describe it there?
You might be right. What else do they say about me?
Well, they say you're better than some and worse than others.
Who am I better than?
Millard Fillmore.
Millard Fillmore. Now, who else am I better than?
Yes, well, I'm finished in here. Oh, by the way, sir, paragraph 6 is already covered in the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty.
Never mind the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. Who else am I better than?
Good night, Mr. President.
Hello, Okosigan? No, I haven't finished the final draft yet. Well, you see, I just met with one of my top advisors. And the treaty still needs a little more work.
My friends and fellow Americans, I have been asked tonight to say just a few words. By golly, I'm going to try my darndest. And yes, my fellow Americans, I shall be brief. I also shall be terse, succinct, short-winded, and economical of both word and phrase and sentence and paragraph.
Those of us who heard that man speak and speak and speak have often wondered, what could he be thinking as he talks and talks and talks and talks? Now the answer to that question.
As I gaze across this broad and beautiful land of ours, on this wide and wonderful world, in this superb and splendid solar
golly,
system,
what a chatterbox
of this grand
I am.
And glorious galaxy we live in, I often find myself saying, gracious me. Yes, gracious me.
Short, Hubert, short.
And I suppose you wonder why. Why, you wonder, does Hubert Horatio Humphrey say, gracious me? I'll tell you why.
Oh,
my
shut up,
Americans.
Hubert, shut up already.
I'll tell you why Hubert Humphrey says, gracious me, as he gazes across this broad and beautiful land and this wide and wonderful world.
Hubert, shut
in
up already.
In this superb and splendid solar system of this grand and glorious galaxy we live in.
Didn't I just say that?
He says it because
you're
he
leaves. You're going to give me hell for
gracious
this.
Me. Now I shall be brief. But let me say this, and I feel I can say this without fear of interruption.
Oh, you're coughing?
Yes,
I've never
gosh,
seen people coughing
Americans.
And sleeping at the same time.
I'm pleased as punch to hear me say it. Now let me say this in conclusion. Let me
thank
leave you
God, I think I'm finishing at last.
This penultimate expletive. Heavens to Betsy. Heavens to Betsy. Let me amplify.
Wrong again, Hubert.
By heavens to Betsy, I mean to express the joy. And as I was saying to Mrs. Humphrey the other day,
oh, well.
Golly gee, Mom. What a thrill it is to gaze across the broad prairies and the wide savannas and the rushing rivers and to say, gosh, all
my God, I'm a
what
bore.
A thrill it is just to live and be joyous and to say happiness.
My gracious,
friends,
I'm just getting started and everyone's
insubstantial
gone. Uriel, come back, you fool, come back.
I shall be brief. But first, let me just say a few words more. My friends.
And now, my fellow Americans, the awards for the best performance by a politician during the last year. Some of the nominees are George Wallace in The Great White Hope.
Harold Stassen in The Magnificent Obsession.
Hubert Humphrey in Seduced and Abandoned. I don't think that's so funny.
Fidel Castro in One of Our Aircraft is Missing.
And General Curtis LeMay in Oh, What a Lovely War. I don't think that's so funny.
The envelope, please. And the winner is Mrs. Spiro Agnew in The Egg and I.
Accepting the award for Mrs. Agnew is her husband, Spiro. However, Spiro has been unavoidably restrained. Would someone like to come up and say a few kind words for the Vice President? Our next category is
this is comedian Tom O'Malley, and I'm here at a swell gas station on the outskirts of Washington posing as an attendant. Now, this gas pump is actually a microphone. That fire hydrant is actually a camera, and I'm actually doing this for money. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes a real pigeon now, eh?
I would like 2 gallons of super swell gasoline, please.
Let me ask you something, pal. Why did you roll in here?
I understand that you give free dishes.
You put this junk in your tank just for some lousy dishes? Now, I know what goes into this stuff. Believe me. What do you know about super swell?
Well, I've seen your commercials on TV, the one where the car with the Platform 7 goes on for miles, while the car without the Platform 7 runs out of gas halfway across the Golden Gate Bridge. And my friend, I know what it means to run out of gas in California.
Hey, pal, do you know what this isn't by hand?
Of course I do. It's a gas pump.
No, you're wrong. It's a microphone. And that's a camera over there, a TV camera.
My fellow Americans, let me make one thing perfectly clear. The dishes were not for me. Let me just say that. These are for President Tu and Vice President Key. And I want to say this. I'm getting 2 for Key and 3 for 2. It's me for you and you for me. Shalom. I got it right. I got it right at last. Take a letter. Dear Dick, I think you're doing a magnificent job. Your public appearances are quite exciting. You are what I would call an activist president. I'll read that back and give it some feeling.
Mr. President, your visitors are here. Shall I show them in?
Of course.
This way, gentlemen. Mr. President, Mr. George Benson and Mr. Bruce Forrest.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Mr. President.
Gentlemen, refresh my memory. What is the name of your organization?
Mr. President, we represent an oppressed minority group. We're from the Gay Liberation Front.
The Gay Liberation Front. I was under the impression that I was going to see two gentlemen from United Fruit.
Oh, that too, Mr. President.
Yeah. I'm beginning to get the picture. Now, what did you want to see me about?
Sir, we have been systematically excluded from government. We want representation, and we want it now. We want at least one member of our minority group in your cabinet.
You already have that. At cabinet meetings, someone keeps touching my knee.
I knew she was one of us.
Who is it? Who is it?
My lips are sealed.
Bruce, please. Mr. President, what sort of positive action are you going to take?
Well, gentlemen, let me make one thing perfectly clear. Clear. Your president doesn't want to offend anyone. That's not my game. I have great respect for your people. Some of my best friends are choreographers. Your people have great talent, and I admire you all. You have such wonderful sense of hairdressing. However, let me make this very, very clear. I will not bow to pressure. I will not be bullied.
Get her.
Who? Get who?
Sir, we're merely asking for you to keep your campaign promises.
Mr. Benson, when I promised that I would bring everyone together, I'm afraid you took me too literally.
Then you're unwilling to do anything?
Gentlemen, I'm terribly sorry. I can do nothing for you.
Sir, it has been estimated that 6 million of our people will vote in 1972. That's 6 million.
6 million, you say? Now, let me say this. Mr. Benson, you deliver those votes, and I can promise you a very, very big job.
As what?
As majority whip. Hello.
Hello, hello.
I am the president.
I am the president.
I like that.
Like that.
I am the president.
I am the president.
I am the greatest president who ever lived. Well?
Sorry, I'm an echo, not an idiot.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. That's me. Are there any questions?
Sir, I had a question. Mr. President, recent polls showed that only 57% of the people felt that you were doing a good job as president. How do you comment on that?
Well, let me say this. The fact is, and I do believe in facts. Because after all, I am the president, and that's a fact. Next question.
Mr. President, you haven't answered my question.
That is also a fact. The gentleman from the Bantu Journal.
Oh, yes. Mr. President.
Would you please stand up?
I am standing up.
I'm terribly sorry about that.
It's all right, sir. Mr. President, your critics claim that you have appointed very few blacks. Would you comment?
Well, that's not quite true. I have appointed blacks. Recently, I appointed Shirley Temple black. Next question.
Mr. President, why have we heard so little from Spiro Agnew recently?
Because you haven't been reading the papers. But seriously, let me say this. Spiro Agnew is the vice president. Make no mistake about that. I already did that. I have not gagged Spiro Agnew. Spiro Agnew has a vital part to play in this administration. And as soon as we find out what it is, he's going to rejoin the team. Next question.
Mr. President, where do you stand on school segregation?
I'm glad you asked me that question. I've said before, it seems to me there are two extreme groups. There are those who want instant integration, and those who want segregation forever. I believe that we need to have a middle course, instant forever. Mr. Susskind, what is your question?
Mr. President, how can you, just how, what do you say, how can you answer your critics? Can you answer your critics who charge? I mean, what do you say to them?
I'll answer the second part of that question first. I'll answer the third part of the question second. I'll answer the first part of the question fourth. I think you've answered my question.
Mr. President, what is an acceptable level of unemployment?
Well, let me say right off that most of my friends are working. But let me say this at the same time, an acceptable level of unemployment is something about which men may differ. A level of unemployment that is acceptable to one man may not be acceptable to the next man. Actually, it depends on whether you have a job. And I'm a level of unemployment that is acceptable to one man may not be acceptable to the next man. Actually, it depends on whether you have a job. And I'm working. Make no mistake about that. I'm working. Your question, sir.
Mr. President, I'm Henry Fonda.
Well, it's a great honor to have you, Mr. Fonda, but let me make one thing perfectly clear, Mr. Fonda. This is a press conference, not a movie set.
Well, I know that, Mr. President, but just let me say this. I'm here because the reporters are a little hesitant about asking you this. You see, sir, you're always saying, let me make one thing perfectly clear. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. Frankly, it's a pain to keep hearing that over and over and over. It doesn't seem to me that it's necessary to keep saying, let me make one thing perfectly clear.
Well, let me make one thing perfectly clear. It may not be necessary for you to say it, Henry, but it's necessary for me to keep saying, let me make one thing perfectly clear.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Who am I?
I'm sorry, you're the president, Mr. President.
All right. Now, all together, who am I?
You are the president!
Yes, I am the president of the United States, and make no mistake about that.
And God help us, everyone.
Timely.
Yes, it is.
That was David Fry. I am the president. Are you not going to talk?
Oh, I was...
I was sort of throwing it up to you while I turned off the record.
Oh, I was going to ask you what you thought of the record.
Oh, I mean, it's hilarious. I love David Fry.
Yeah, I thought side one really showed a great side of David Fry. It really brought out his...
Yes, except we listened to side two just there.
Yes, due to technical difficulties.
Well, it's also side two is the one that I've not heard before, so that was new to me.
Yes, we phased out Golda Meir, and instead we got the Gay Liberation Front, as David Fry so aptly put it.
We got some internal monologues as well. Can't rip on the internal monologues, which are quality, especially the Herbert Hoover, Hubert Humphrey one.
Yes, Herbert Hoover was out of the picture by then. But, you know, we will be out of the picture soon, too, if you don't donate. Attention, all freeform radio lovers, WMFO needs your help. For the past 45 years, we have brought you community-based freeform radio. But in order to continue that great and honored tradition, we need your support in our annual donations drive. That's right, it's time to turn to NPR for their drive, because we're asking you for money, too. From now on until November 14th, that's tomorrow, you can go to donate.wmfo.org to help us in raising our goal of $5,000. That's all we need, $5,000. One person donates $4,000. We only need one other person to donate 1,000 more. Your generosity will be rewarded with a unique thank you gift. So go check out donate.wmfo.org.
Wonderful. I also have a PSA this morning, breaking things up a bit.
Do tell.
The Tufts University Arts Gallery is dedicated to conceiving and presenting exhibits and educational programs that explore new global perspectives on art and art discourse. All these exhibitions and related programming are free, open to the public, and fully accessible. The Tufts University Art Gallery is located in the Aitkman Art Center at 40 Talbot Avenue on the Somerville-Medford campus of Tufts University. For current exhibits and hours, just search the web for Tufts University Art Gallery, or you can also call 617-627-3518. This has been a public service message from WMFO, Medford Tufts Educational Radio. If you want to call us with song requests or anything else for the last 20 minutes of this show, you can also reach us at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. We'd be happy to play anything that you want to hear this fine morning.
Please call.
Yeah, we don't like talking to each other, so we'd love to talk to other people.
We've been trying to work it out with the marriage counselor, but it really has not been working out.
Hilarious.
I wish it was.
Hilarious. Should we get to some music now?
Yeah, let's move on over to the music.
Cool, we're going to go sort of some punk rock or progressive punk. I don't know the exact genre. This, though, is PJ Harvey.
I lost my heart under the bridge to that little girl. So much to
Pavement with Spit on a Stranger off of their album Terror Twilight from 1999. Before that, we had Liz Phair, 6'1", Exile in Guyville, as we took a little trip through the 90s, and we opened that up with PJ Harvey, Down by the Water, off of the, it was actually a single, but one of her more famous songs. We're gonna, I guess, keep it coming because Danny's life is falling apart.
No, it's not.
Well, the newspaper is.
Well, no, we don't have to talk about that here. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about the radio.
Well, you weren't talking, so I brought you in by talking about you.
Well, here I am. So what do you want to talk about? Music? I know music.
I mean, we're going to play more music.
Lots of my best friends are music.
We're going to actually proceed to a cover of that song that we just played, Spit on a Stranger. That one was originally by the band Pavement, but we're going to play a cover by the band Nickel Creek. That's Chris Thiele's band, with Sean and Sarah Watkins off of their debut album in 2002, which I actually think I prefer better than the original, or prefer more than the original.
I will form an opinion on it in a moment.
Yeah, well, here you go. Nickel Creek, coming at you on WMFO in Medford, 91.5.
However you feel, whatever it takes, whenever it's real, whatever awaits me, whatever you need, however so slight, whenever it's real, whenever it's right. I've been thinking long and hard about the things you said to me, like a bitter stranger. And now I see the long, the short, the middle, and what's in between. Whatever it's real, whatever.
I'll be the one that leaves you high, high, high.
When last we spoke, I sang of end times, of cities washed away. Bloodless halls, a flooded station, and that last train from LA. With 3 years have passed, and here I am in the waiting room, delayed with all the restless. Some 60 eyes fixed hard and fast on the TV playing something senseless. Me, I dream of a broken watch with hands like vines. In the dream I see the sweep of centuries. I am a prehistoric bird. It would be generous to call them boulevards with their dead-eyed metal herd. And I've come to peck the faces, all of the faces off of every clock. Then set myself to ponder the golden shoals, the clouds, the rotting dock. Can you hear the carnival rising? The brutal fairgrounds aglow, sunburned families laughing at the toy gun game stall, someone screaming below. Station, could a train be an escape?